Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity. Hey, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman, and I am sitting here in the Imprint studio with...
I'm Darren Larson.
Hey, this is Tom McGregor.
And these are our normal, I don't know what you'd call them, candidates or everyday people.
Not
candidates
so normal.
The wrong word. I don't know.
Hooligans.
There we go. Maybe that's better. And we also have a special guest with us today. Special guest, would you introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Carissa Itriide.
And Carissa might be familiar, familiar name, familiar face, if you've been around Imprint for any amount of time. Carissa,
she's been around here for the entire time.
That's true.
That's right.
Yeah.
The original 40?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. And she had a different last name then.
Oh man.
That's right.
Shapeshifter.
So, Carissa, if someone has not been paying attention at all, first of all, pay attention. But secondly, if they haven't been paying attention at all, tell them a little bit about yourself and what you do at Imprint and what you're passionate about.
Yeah. What I do at Imprint, I am the elementary lead, more or less for the Woodinville location when we had two locations.
Yeah, it's a bit fuzzy now, I guess, isn't it?
Now I am just one of the elementary leads.
That's great.
Yeah, I've been in this role for 4 years, officially.
That's cool.
I was part of, the original launch team.
And you helped out with kids before then, too.
And I did, yeah. So when we launched, I started with elementary and working with those kids, and then it became official.
Talk about patient endurance.
Yes. Yeah,
interesting. Wow.
Pointing towards something.
Yeah. I had always done younger kids. I really liked the 2-year-olds. Mm-hmm. So I had always done those youngers. And when we planted Imprint, I said, I think I want to graduate. I think I want to move up to elementary. And
we were all growing up together or something.
That's right. Yeah. So I've been doing elementary ministry now for almost 9 years.
Man.
Wow.
That's crazy.
You.
And doing a great job at it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Our leads team, and our leads team is great, but I feel like our kids team is just awesome and on it. So if you see one of them on a Sunday morning, or even if you don't see one of them on a Sunday morning, thank them.
Yeah.
They've done a whole lot of awesome stuff, especially during the pandemic, to keep us and our kids connected and engaged and stuff like that.
Yeah. But, like cruising around to houses. Like,
oh my gosh. They drove. You guys drove like how many hours?
Last summer we drove about 8 to 10 hours every month for 4 months to deliver bags to all of our families. And that was just the Woodinville families. Missy and Christy over at Bothell did their families.
Did the same thing.
Yeah.
Man. Super cool.
It was super fun.
Well, I heard stories upon stories of how much that meant to kids to like see some normal, and run into their leaders. Like that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to see kids where they're at as well, in their homes with their families.
Yeah, that's a different opportunity than normal.
It is.
Yeah, 'cause they show up and come into your space, but it's cool to see them still excited to see you, even though they don't have to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah. I am married to Ben. We have 2 girls. Eliana is 6 and going into first grade. She's very proud of that. So, and then we have Faith, who is 10 months old. I couldn't remember how old she was.
On the spot. That's because you have a 10-month-old. Yes. You shouldn't be able to remember anything right now.
We have kind of always been a Northwest family. Mm. I went to college at Biola University down in California. So I was down there for 5 years, didn't really come home for those 5 years, and moved back home after that and met my husband. And he grew up in the area, also left for college and came back. And
you guys didn't know each other beforehand?
We did not.
Oh, okay.
All no. Right. There was definitely some, my parents actually knew his dad beforehand.
Oh,
wow.
And we just didn't know that his dad had a family.
That's fantastic.
Yes. How surprising is that?
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
Well,
that's cool.
Thanks for being a part. I appreciate it. I'm excited to talk to you about patience. So we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit for the past, 4 weeks now? Or this is the fourth week,
number
I guess.
Four, isn't it? Yeah.
And the fruit of the Spirit comes out of Galatians 5. The list is there, but it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we've been talking about these, what they look like in the Christian life, how they develop in the Christian life, and how we kind of partner with the Spirit. So it's time. I know you've all been waiting patiently. It's time to
talk. Our intro was longer than normal just because we wanted to be ironic.
I guess so. Yeah, that was on purpose. It wasn't because we're long-winded. But today we're going to talk about patience. So I'll throw it out there. Softball, kind of vague to get us started. What do you guys think patience is?
Something I lack.
Well, I feel like that's an answer most people would have. But what is... What is patience, I guess, from a, we'll start from kind of, I think a biblical perspective should be a ground level perspective, but average person you grab on the street, you say, are you patient or what is patience? Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to come out of their mouths?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's funny that we seem to want to teach patience to our children, and then it's like we graduate from patience at some point, doesn't it? Is that, maybe that's just me, but I feel like that has been a theme that I was thinking about when I was thinking about with patience, is that it hasn't been something I've thought of in my sanctification. Hmm. I've been thinking more that was the thing we teach to those who are like kids and need to learn how to, you know, not get all uptight about the things going on in their lives.
And because we never get uptight about the things going on in our lives.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
So what is it then? I mean, if we say we need to be better at it, what is it?
I think when it comes to my kids, it's waiting without complaining.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. We often have that conversation over meal times when we're waiting to eat food. I said, just have patience. It will come.
Yeah, totally.
I think of two passages every time patience comes up, and I'm thinking biblically. I think of Exodus 34.
Yeah.
And God's big nose. And
explain the long reference.
Yeah. So the Hebrew is erek, and I don't speak Hebrew, so this is me attempting.
That's okay.
Erek,
I'm excited about this.
Af or afayim, I think is.
I won't correct you. Just keep going. Tell people what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, erek means long, and f or af means nostrils.
Yeah.
When it's afayim, I think.
Yeah.
So it just means that he's slow to anger, or you know, like when you get mad, your nose, mm-hmm. you know, blood rushes to parts. Yeah. So God's big nose means that he's slow to anger.
Yeah.
And then I think about James 5, where he's reminding people about the patience of Job, and that one's perplexing. Because you read Job and he doesn't seem to be patient in the way that I think about it. Yeah. He's angry. He accuses God. And God at the very end says, well done. And it's like, is that what patience looks like?
You know, I think that patience has a long picture in scripture as well. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is it's not necessarily defined per se, except for some of those images that we see, mm-hmm. like McGregor, you're just saying, or some of the things we can say to our kids, like you were saying, Carissa, which actually makes it super practical for me. But I also see the stories in scripture mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. tell of the patience that both God has and that we are to have.
Yep.
Mm. I mean, I think of stories of promise and fulfillment that show up in scripture. I mean, the classic one that I go to in my head is David, right? I mean, the David story of being promised to be king, mm-hmm. and then the dude goes through a beating for years, mm-hmm. and never wants to go against the Lord's anointed. One of the things, his own words, is what he's saying there, and never knows what God's timing is, and mm-hmm. and he wrestles with it. Man, the guy is just panicked, you know, all the time. He's like, it's almost like patience induces anxiety or something like that within him, you know. Because he's so freaked out, and yet he does everything he can to say, like, I'm going to trust the Lord at all times. I'm going to endure whatever I'm facing. I'm gonna face it with, you know, faith as well and trust. And so I love the picture is that it's not necessarily just like some, you know, airtight definition, which I think we could probably come up with several, and I like Chris's personally, but I also think there's like something in there that's like, here's the story. What should you learn? You should learn patience.
Yeah, you should think about it. And it's interesting how David's patience is similar to Job's.
Huh.
Freaked out, and vocal about it.
Yeah.
But ultimately trusting, yeah. And it, Job doesn't bail on relationship with God. He keeps on talking to him, even though it's like, you know, you see in the poetic narrative that it's like years of sitting in the ash heap.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think of stories of God's patience in that as well. Mm-hmm. Like, we're, maybe the question is patience must start with the character of God, right? Like it must be grounded there. Otherwise we probably wouldn't know what it is. And I don't know. I'm just, for some reason I'm shooting from the hip here, but I go to Jonah as a, as an example of patience to me when he, the Lord is patient and relenting of sending his judgment upon Nineveh because of the worst sermon ever preached and because the repentance of the people. And then of course Jonah gets mad, right? Like Jonah chapter 3, like he gets angry at this whole thing and frustrated with God's choice to do what he wants to and to allow these people to be, you know, to be saved, to be gracious to them. And so you get another one of these stories of long, a historical thing that shows people a little bit more of the character of God, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So patience is just waiting is what we're saying.
Seems like it.
Seems like it's just waiting. Yeah. So what's setting...
waiting with faith?
I was just about to bring into it. So I think the biblical side of this, there's a huge interplay between faith and patience, it seems like.
Yeah. But
from, just from what you guys have said.
It's not the emotionless, like stoic. Of course not.
Well, none of that is in the Bible. Yeah. Like if you look at the halls, like I guess it's Hebrews 11 is the kind of the hall of fame of faith.
Yeah.
You know, it tells all those stories, and I think if you get the flannel graph version of all those stories, they all have the deadpan face. But obviously that was not the case. Yeah. I mean, you think of Abraham is there, but they were childless, and that was a huge
that was
the end of your social life and your financial life if you could not have children, and it was a huge point of worth for women to be able to carry on her husband's name there. So there were sleepless nights. There was, there were broken hearts. There was worry about the future of, you know, Abraham's significant wealth that he had attributed there. Same thing with Moses. I mean, the guy runs away in fear because he kills a man out of anger and he's wandering the desert, assuming his life is over. So it's not the stoic thing at all. It can't be that. Yeah.
I guess I think of patience in terms of like a Zen-like state or something. That's probably not
right. Maybe that's the popular...
I think that's... Right? Yeah. Yeah. I would say, yeah. Mm-hmm. It definitely feels like when you're patient, you're supposed to be quiet and sit and not wrestle with it. Yep. Yes, but I think there's a lot of wrestling when it comes to patience.
It seems like the Bible kind of shows, at least if we're taking examples from the scriptures on people who were told as patients, those who were waiting to see the kingdom of God, those who were whatever. I mean, you get this picture of people who are going through excruciating things. You mentioned Hebrews 11, like people who are sodden too, and things like that doesn't flannel graph well.
No, it does not. Yeah. That one never showed up.
No.
So let me ask this. Why is it hard to wait?
I think sometimes we have a plan and a thought process, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
And it's like, this is the way that we think life is supposed to go and the way we want it to go. And so when it doesn't and we have to wait for that, it's not what we had envisioned.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there's a story that our culture tells us, and that meta-narrative is the American dream, that we deserve comfort and prosperity and happiness.
Yeah.
And when we don't get it right away, then it messes with, it creates dissonance and discomfort.
Yeah.
And then we also have a narrative about what to do when you don't get what you want or deserve.
Right.
And that just doesn't seem to be the way of Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I think there's also a pedagogy of everyday life that kind of reinforces that. I mean, we have Amazon Prime and can get, like Tom Regan was saying, he ordered a keyboard for his iPad and it showed up later the next day.
No, it was that day.
It showed up. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
it showed up the same day.
No, Rex, we actually used to live in an Amazon 2-day free shipping world.
That's true.
Now we live in the 2-hour free shipping world.
That's up here in the Seattle area, maybe.
This is such a weird thing. Yeah, so Tom, like, he was talking about getting a keyboard for his iPad, and you know, he ordered this thing that we were looking at the office. He gets home and it's sitting there waiting for us, and he sends us a picture. You know, patience is not a virtue in the Amazon.com world.
It's reinforced that I should be able to get what I want when I want it.
So there's the narrative that I should get what I want when I want it, but then there's also the actual experience, like you're saying, that says yes, that narrative is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's all the people around us who have these little social media profiles that seem to indicate with picture proof
they're getting all the
that
things
they're
they
getting
want.
All the things that they want.
So I should too. Yeah.
Well, go back to that story idea again. You know, you think of Israel's hope for redemption in scripture. It's another storyline that I think of in the Bible where they had promises all the way through. They're waiting for a Messiah. They're waiting for redemption. They're waiting for Exodus, if you will. And all of these things, and that did not come on their timing. Generations died, and prophets came and went.
Yeah.
And I mean, this God's timing is so dramatically different than ours, and that's sobering to think of.
Totally. And you guys think it's a control thing more than anything? Because if I know for myself, if I have the choice to make myself wait for something, I'm usually not going to do it.
Yeah, right.
Unless it's like smoking a pork shoulder or something like that. Then you wait with patience because it's going to be delicious. But for the most part,
there's probably a spiritual lesson
like
that.
We live in that world because it makes us feel like we have control. You know, I can get a keyboard in a couple hours if I want to. I can go get fast food that would take me a long time to make at home just by using some money. So I have some power to do that kind of thing. Do you guys think it's just a lack of control that makes us bristle against being patient?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I stumped him. Look at that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I think for me, I have that control freak personality that I've worked sanctification all my life for years and years to try to have less and less of that. And I think that is by God's grace actually been curbed a bit. And I think that probably does display itself in a form of patience in my life, you know? So I think in some ways, if I was killing the control freak nature of myself, if we're looking at Galatians 5, if I'm putting aside the works of the flesh, which is the control freak nature of, I'm actually bearing the fruit of the spirit of patience. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's looking like. So it's not necessarily I don't have that control freak tendency anymore. It's that I'm learning how to push that forward into what God would want me to do, and that's to trust in Him and to be patient, to live with a sense of endurance and trust in whatever it is that He might have for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So with Job and his perseverance, James uses a Greek word hypomonon, which is about circumstances and experiences, patience in the midst of circumstances. But the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, when they translate Exodus 34 and God's patience or God's big nose, they use the word macrothumia, which is the idea of the same patient endurance, but in relation to people. And so I think that there a lot of what we're talking about are experiences that are outside of our control. But when we think about the character of God, the thing that the Bible wants us to focus on is His response of patience in relation to us. Mm-hmm. And I think to some extent, like the patience that we have with circumstances, it has for those of us in relationship with God has an element of that macrothumia interpersonal patience with God. But I think we often forget about the way that our impatience impacts the people around us. Unless you're impatient like me and are reminded often of
it. So how does impatience impact the people around us?
Oh, it's detrimental to my relationships.
You guys have like any stories where that was the case, maybe? Like where you were impatient in something and it negatively impacted people around you? Or just any stories of God growing patience in you? Because I think patience is funny, where patience, we desire patience, but we don't want to actually go through what it takes to become patient. Mm-hmm. So any stories where the Lord developed patience in you?
Yeah, I think, you know, we all pray for patience and no one wants to work it out. I mean, I think I'm, you know, I've had a couple times where it's, I think through, okay, yeah, God, I just need to be patient. I think, you know, my life plan is go to college, meet a great guy and get married and start a family. And that was my life plan. Mm-hmm. And God said, I have a different plan for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get you through college and then you're going to wait and you're not going to meet that great guy for two more years. And then you're going to meet him and you're going to know it's him. And then you're still going to wait to get married. And I think that was absolutely, I think probably not the first time, but the first time that I can think back to of really seeing working out patience.
What did that feel like in the first 2 year thing? And then how did that impact your relationship with God? Like what were you doing the Job thing or were, you know, like.
Yeah, there was a lot of frustration and. Man, God, like, why is everyone else getting married? And why is everyone else doing, you know, getting to do this? And come on, I have followed you. I have been faithful.
You owe me.
I went to a Bible college. You're
supposed to get your ring by spring, right?
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah. And I don't think it was until I let go of my plan and really said, okay, fine. I'll do it the way you want to do it, God, that I saw like that it was patience that I was working for.
What did it mean to do it God's way?
I guess not to, you know,
like, did you stop dating
as a single adult? I would say, oh, there's this Bible study that is for other single adults. Mm-hmm. Maybe I will meet my spouse there. Mm-hmm. Or, there's this event. I will go. Oh, this friend has a friend. Mm-hmm. I will meet this guy. Kind of. I mean, I wouldn't say like I was doing online dating. I was going on dates every week, but it was definitely I'll look around. I'll go out of what I'm already doing and places that I'm serving to have the opportunity to find someone. And I think it was when I said, no, you know what, taking a step back and just saying, okay, I want to focus on the areas that I'm serving in, focus on where I'm invested and not going out and doing other things. And it's when I really made that decision to, okay, hey, I love this church I'm going to, I'm invested in it, I have great friends, I'm learning and I'm growing, I'm just going to stop there and live in that moment of where God had placed me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want to say it was a month or two later that my husband, Ben, walked in, obviously my husband at that point.
Like, this is weird.
Yeah. I met him and it was like, okay, like he's cool. And it just kind of kept growing. And I would say it was a couple months later that I'm like, yep, I'm going to marry him. And it was waiting, I think, for him, like, to be ready.
To figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And waiting for him to kind of not follow God's path, but...
God was doing something in him, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, it was another 2 years before we got married.
Yeah.
And I think... Looking back, like it was a weird time. We got married the week after Imprint launched here. And looking at the people who are at our wedding, we have very little contact other than family members, very little contact with any of them.
Wow.
It was, and it's because they were all from our old church.
Oh yeah. Mm.
And so it was definitely a moving forward, a stepping out on our own, yeah. I would yeah. say, that we're going to go out and we're going to, as a couple, we're at this church and we don't know a ton of people, but
you're creating a new life for
yourself. Creating a new yeah. life. Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah. I think that if, we hadn't gotten married, if we gotten married earlier, a year previously, we may not have come to Imprint.
Yeah.
And I think mm. there's a lot of growth that has happened for us
yeah.
being
yeah.
here. Yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, that's a thank you for sharing, by the
yeah.
way.
Totally.
But I think that's really cool because you hit on two things. First of all, you were forced to learn and practice patience for God's will in your life. And then also you had to do the same thing for God's will in Ben's life, uh-huh. you know? So you had to, I don't know, you had to learn, yeah, you had to learn a lot of patience and a lot of different flavors there.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
You guys have anything that comes to mind with?
I love how, you know, I was thinking a little bit of the stories. Once again, I just keep going back to stories of patience. You know, I as I was processing a little bit, this podcast itself is named after a passage in Romans 15 where it says, and you will abound in hope, mm-hmm. right? That's where that's from. But the story in Romans 15 actually also gives us a picture of the character of God while we wait. And it actually couches in the Old Testament in verses 4-7, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance... which some Bible translations say the God who gives endurance. That's incorrect, by the way. It's the God of endurance and encouragement.
It's a genitive.
Grant you, that's right, grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together with one voice you may glorify the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. This beautiful picture of like these lessons learned like along the way. Like when Chris was talking, I was actually thinking about this a little bit. Like it took these really specific things in her life to catch, and in Ben's as well, yeah. for her to go, oh, I'm learning patience. Oh, I'm learning things. And why am I learning things? Because of the God of endurance, the God yeah. of patience, and the God who will help you learn these things, this instruction, this endurance, this encouragement to give you hope in this and stuff. Because I would guess it's, you didn't lose hope that you were going to get married. You wanted that. That yeah. was something that God placed in your heart. And that's cool. And for Ben as well.
Yeah.
So you didn't lose that hope. But through the process of that, you probably gained a lot of trust and belief in what God was doing, and then eventually you get to a point where in the long run, now years later, 8 years later,
yeah.
You can 9 years later, I guess, you can say God was there. He was in charge, and I
Absolutely.
Learned something about his character. So I don't know. That's yeah. what I was thinking when yeah. when she shared that.
Yeah, I think of Elie Wiesel in Night, where he
yeah.
says, mm-hmm. A Jew can be with God and a Jew can be against God, but not without God. Huh. And I totally buy into the Job model of patience. I think that James is hitting on something, that patience for me in relationship with other people, and then especially with God, is that regardless of circumstances or the way somebody is acting towards me, it's the way to image God is to continue to invite relationship and to maintain some sort of tie. And I think that's what God does. It's like, he's not willing that any should perish. And mm-hmm. so he's taking his sweet time,
yeah,
because he's inviting people into relationship with him. And, so I think of, one moment in particular when I was, first coming to faith in, following Jesus, and I had a lot of friends that were not into that. Patience was maintaining relationship, even.
Interesting. Yeah.
As it wasn't necessarily wanted.
Well, so maybe that springboards us into, can I ask a question, Rex?
Yeah, sure.
So we've been talking a little bit, what I feel like is a category of patience with God, in a sense, or about God things. What about patience with ourselves or patience with people around us in the broken world that we live in?
Yeah.
Like if those are, maybe those are two more categories actually. Like, cause I think when I think of patience, I have to have patience with myself. Cause I sometimes get in that mode of like, I'm not growing fast enough. I'm frustrated with my sinful patterns that just seem to always be there. I've been a Christian for X amount of years. Shoot, I'm even a pastor. Why do you know, whatever. Like that's patience with myself, which I think I learned through the character of God. But then there's the other one that you just mentioned, which is patience with the broken people in the broken world.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be as simple as yelling at the person on 405,
as one does,
or also the frustration of people like in your life who are, man, they're not Christians, and I hung out with these people, and now they are bringing me down. Like, how do we deal with those two things? I don't know which one you want to talk about. I'm thinking categorically as we were chatting here.
I think on the patience with yourself. I think some of that is still patience with God, because I just wish I was fixed. I wish you would come back now and take care of things as they are. But with other people, I think that's a lot more complex. It's a lot more difficult when somebody's being a jerk, and maybe even you kind of deserve, well, in my case, you kind of deserve it because you've been a jerk, you know? I was definitely not gracious or winsome in those early stabs at talking about Jesus. I think it is more complex. I'd have to think about it. So maybe Carissa could give the answer while I'm
following. No, I was thinking the Philippians passage that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it with the patience with ourselves piece. So that's the overlap between patience with ourselves and patience with God in my mind is that there is a true sense. Well, these are the fruit of the Spirit. Shoot. I mean,
yeah, he's producing
these, this in us. Yeah. We're not conjuring up some sort of patience. Although, you know, I mean, there's probably a little bit of a both and thing going on here in the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. There's Romans 5.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
But we also, I remember like sort of what you're talking about, Darren, we talked about in the episode on love, how it's really easy to love people if you don't hang out with people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So how does the fruit foster patience in us? Towards other people, I think is what you're asking.
Yeah, I agree. Because, it does seem like that is a big piece of patience as I think about it. Because a lot of times believers, we have to learn to be patient with what God is doing both in the world and in us. But then there's a whole piece of like the other out there, the person who's...
I would even say like it has to start within the church because I think there are people, you know, I'm sure you feel, you wouldn't say this, but like there are people who you talk to and you think, why haven't you gotten this already?
Yeah, totally.
You know, we preach about this all the time. Yep. We've met 1,000 times about this one thing. Why haven't you gotten this already?
Yeah, yeah.
It's love. It's the watching world will know our discipleship to Jesus by our love for one another. And the very center of love is patience and kindness, according to 1 Corinthians 13, anyway. And I think that being in a family, like the local church, often you have zero affinity with.
Yeah.
Not very much shared experience, at least initially.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe some different views on
maybe
the way things ought to be around here.
I'm going to talk about that Sunday.
Okay. Man, to maintain relationship in the midst of all of that, requires a lot of patience. And God has designed it that way, I think. Speaking of Romans 5, where suffering produces endurance and character and hope.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think of it as, when I'm at the grocery store, and the cashier's struggling or the person begging is struggling and they apologize. Like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's a sense where you're like, well, I've got a time crunch. Like, you are wearing me down. You are slowing me down. And it's stopping and thinking, you know what? They are equal to me. They are a person. And they are doing their best. Or they are going through something, mm-hmm. and it's looking at them as an equal,
mm-hmm.
and not as, I mean, I think you can think of the person begging groceries as like, well, I'm better than you because right. you're doing this, right. you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's thinking of him as an equal, yeah. as someone who is worthy of my patience.
So yeah. interpersonally, patience requires humility.
I think, so yeah, much. I think a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and even, I remember years ago, a friend of mine said something about, was talking about anger, funny enough, and the definition of anger, the thing that brings anger out in people mostly is unmet expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty profound, you know, just the idea of... the things that we expect of other people, whether it's yeah. the grocery store bagger, like you should be better at your job, you know, like do your thing. Like you do this for 8 hours a day. Come on, you know, whatever it is, you should be doing this, you know, that unmet expectation both builds anger, like a yeah. frustration, but also it displays itself in an impatient spirit, which is ugly Absolutely. In so many yeah. ways. Like anyone looking from the outside would say, it's not the bagger's problem. There's something wrong in you, yeah, right?
Yeah. There's totally.
Your heart, your unmet expectation.
Well, isn't it patient? I would say patience is fairly rare in our day. I mean, I think it's part of art. It's because of what's been fostered through, I'll order a keyboard today yeah. and get it in 2 hours. So like, I think part of that, like you said, it is humility. It's mm-hmm. it's not viewing ourselves as important as we think we are, as yeah. in control as we think we are. Because if someone bagging groceries slower mm-hmm. than we think, or somebody moving in front of us in traffic that makes us get to the same traffic light they're going to 30 seconds later
yeah. Yeah.
ruins your day, I think you're far too in control of your
totally.
Life.
Totally.
Yeah.
It is funny how quickly people irritate us and how much we think we deserve from other people or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible's picture is what Ephesians 4, where it says, mm-hmm. bear with one another in yeah. love. Like, bearing with one another in love. Yeah. Like, that's a more harsh word than like,
just love one another.
Yeah, just love yeah. one another. It's actually like, bear with each other. Bearing of
deal with a...
That's like yeah. when you go to the family yeah. reunion and there's the drunk yeah. uncle, you're like, bear with Uncle
yeah.
Steve.
You yeah, know? Seriously. Yeah. yeah, in some ways, patience is then tolerating shortcomings, you know, of other people,
yeah.
whether they're perceived on our behalf or whether they're true. Maybe the person is a little incompetent about yeah. their job or something like that. There still is a calling upon Christians to forbear that person, you know.
So speaking of vocation,
yeah,
and not being good at your job.
Why are you looking at me?
No, not you. us, the human vocation to image God.
Yeah.
Huh?
And think about like how, I mean, you know, the illustration is somebody that doesn't know how to put the heavy things on the bottom of the brown bag.
Yeah.
Human beings haven't like done a great job with our vocation and the patience required. Mm. And
yeah.
If the cross is the image of God's character on display, then patience is certainly tied up in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Because patience was shown in the display of God's love on the cross. Is that what you're yeah. saying of Christ, yeah. Christ's death on Absolutely. The cross? Yeah. That was a patient thing. Not only that, I mean, he came at the opportune time. He came at the time when it was right, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, and that to me is kind of strange to think about. Redemption could have happened back right after the garden, you know, like
yeah.
right after Adam and Eve. But
yeah.
there was something else God was doing to mm-hmm. show his patience to the world. And not only that, but he's patient right now,
uh-huh.
waiting for people to come to repentance, right?
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
like he's being patient for the full redemption of the world because he's waiting for our friends, our neighbors, the stinking grocery bagger to come.
Yeah, this
to
poor
Jesus.
Guy.
Yeah, he's a gal.
Whoever's,
yeah.
I actually really, I like
I bagged groceries in high school. It was awesome. I was good at it. I always put the milk on the bottom of the brown paper bag.
Oh, you did it right then.
I did it the right
yeah.
way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
I'm not a savage.
Amazing. How about, can I ask another question about, I just thinking about patience as well, about what about patience and suffering? How do we deal with that one? Or whether it's real or perceived suffering, or let's not say it that way. I mean, most suffering is something going on.
There's some kind of suffering.
Suffering,
yeah.
whether that's extreme or light suffering, if you will, whether it's a light and momentary affliction, which all suffering are supposed to be, but whether that's true, or whether it's something pretty big, how do we be patient in the midst of suffering?
Yeah, where do we look?
I think
we all looked at Carissa.
You all looked at me.
She got nervous all of a sudden. Sorry, we didn't mean to look at you. Yeah.
No, I think patience and suffering go they're hand in hand. Yeah. I think it's interesting looking at the the fruit of the Spirit in King James. It patience is defined as long suffering.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And
is that the King James word?
It is the
long
King James.
Suffering.
Yeah. Instead of patience, it says long suffering. And so I think that is the slow to anger, what McGregor you were talking about with
God. They actually translate it right in both places.
Yes.
Which I wish our Bibles did.
And I think it's interesting. So I found that interesting. And so I was looking at other places for long suffering.
Yeah.
And where that specific form of patience was used. Huh. And it's almost always in connection with God being slow to anger. And so anyways, it was it was interesting to think about that.
Yeah.
Long suffering.
Mm-hmm. Like Christ, like God, like he was. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
I forget who it is. It's either Chesterton or Spurgeon, but they talk about God being in like the worst marriage of all time. those witty English guys, but the unfaithfulness of humanity to a perfectly loving being who's so loving that that John can say God is love.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly that displays what long suffering looks like. I think practically though, that picture of suffering isn't an impassive, or I'm sorry, not suffering, patience is not an impassive Zen state.
No.
But the biblical vision of patience includes the whole person involved in the trust and waiting on God.
Yeah, I sure hope that was clear in this podcast. I think that's something I had an aha moment where I was sitting here chatting a second ago, where the idea is that you patience doesn't look like just having it all together. You know, you could actually on the outside have anxiety. You can have some things like that.
Or maybe even a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And look like totally unhinged.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think the difference between like something like the law of attraction and the secret or Buddhism, those things that want you or even actually Stoicism is on the rise
totally.
Again.
It is. Funny enough.
There's a lot of books with that in the title lately. It wants you to remove yourself from the situation. Don't worry about it.
This isn't real. This is an illusion.
Different ways of dealing with it. God invites us to get real and to push in and to maintain relationship and connection.
Yeah, it's a good word.
I have a life story for that.
That's great.
When we had our oldest daughter, Eliana, and we had always dreamed of having more kids, and God had put it on our heart. In fact, I still think that it's on our hearts to have more than the two kids that we have. But when, you know, Eliana got to an age, we're like, okay, you know, it's time. Let's try for another kid. And all of our friends were having multiples, and I was in a mom's group, and, you know, it was always, oh, so-and-so's pregnant, and so-and-so, and year after year, we weren't, and we didn't have another kid, and I think that the anger, like, there was absolutely anger, there was absolutely, why, like, I deserve this, like, why are they getting to have kids, or they can't possibly be as good a mom as I am, you know? And it is that working it out. But like Job, it's a little bit of the anger. And I think, looking back, I learned a lot through that waiting, through that patience, although I did not feel like I was patient. In fact, doing this, preparing for this podcast, I would say I'm not a patient person. Like, why am I talking
about
conviction patient?
Comes in. It's like writing a sermon, by the way. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone needs to preach this to me. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But then looking back at these stories, seeing how God was slow to anger with me when I am, there were times when I would blame him for not allowing this. Like, and I think as my husband and I were wrestling with this of, fine, God, like, if you're not going to give us another kid, even though we're praying and we're hoping and we are depending on you, but if you're not going to, then take it away from us. Like, don't give us this desire anymore. And the thing is, God never took that desire away. And so I saw it as a God still working it out and God saying, just wait, just be patient with me. And it was, I think, finally at like kind of that moment that I read 1 Peter 5:10, which says, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast.
Nice.
And I think that was fall of 2019. Huh. And it was that moment that I realized, okay, like God knows what he's doing and he is going to build me up for whatever it ends up being, whether it is we have another kid or whether it is that we don't. He will restore me from my frustration and my anger and my whatever jealousy of other people. And it was March of 2020 that I was finally, okay, God, like,
great timing.
I know. Isn't it great? Yeah.
Something else happened then. I don't know what, but
I'm like, okay, God, fine. Like, we're okay. Like, if we only have Eliana, we are so grateful that we have her and that she loves you and that she is following in your footsteps. And like, we will invest in her and we will establish this in her. And at that moment, kind of God put it on my heart of, okay, you're ready now. And we, right? Great timing. We heard of, oh yeah, there's this deadly disease coming around.
Yeah.
And at that same week that COVID hit the news, we found out that we were pregnant and we were expecting. And like, that's pretty much our response. And I'm like, really? Like, this is really now? Funny, God. Like, yeah. Now? And yet the timing couldn't have been more perfect. But back in March, I was like, this is not good timing. Like, God, what are you thinking? Like, I don't want to have a kid when there's a deadly disease around. And I don't, you know, and then my husband was furloughed from his job. And at the, like, 2 weeks later, kind of scary. Like, we're bringing a kid into this crazy world. And my husband doesn't have a job. This is great. And really laughing. And just, but I think because of all the waiting, because of what God had built me up for and building me up to be steadfast, it didn't seem that scary. It was a laughter moment of, really?
What are you thinking, man?
But it was, okay, we got it. Like, God will sustain us. God will pull us through this. And little
after
to no
after you have suffered a little while.
Absolutely.
Man, the more you go through the stuff like that, like, the more confident you are.
It's true.
I have no idea how you're going to pull this one off.
But you're going to.
Seriously.
But I'm pretty sure you'll show up.
And little did we know that our daughter Faith would be born 2 months early.
She wasn't patient either.
That's right.
She was not patient. We're working on that with her. But that, again, the timing was God. And because of the little bit of, after you've suffered, I'll restore you. Because of that, it wasn't so scary when she was a preemie sitting in NICU and there was not much that I could do. It, what I could do was rely on God and know that you brought us through this and you're going to bring us out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just the waiting, the sitting and...
I was going to say the waiting probably even gave you a sense that she is God's, not mine. You know?
Absolutely.
Like, man.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm okay with the NICU moment because she is God's.
She is God's.
Like, this was not my timing. This was not my plan. I wanted this before. I had no expectations. Man. And all of a sudden, boom, you're pregnant. And all of a sudden, Lord, why she is in this moment.
Yeah.
And we're pretty...
And even, like, after she was born, I had some health things, and the doctors and everyone was really puzzled. Huh. My oxygen levels kept going down. Mm. And so many tests, they came back negative. They're like, okay, I guess you have a cold. Mm. And I'm like, oh, okay. But again, it wasn't scary. You know, I mean, it was middle of the night. They're like, you aren't doing well. Mm. I'm like, but I feel fine. Mm. And I think it was, you know, God saying, no, you're okay. Like, yeah. I've got you in my hands and I'm not going to let you go. And so as worried as everyone else was, I was not.
That's great.
And I think that is the God allowing a little bit of the suffering.
Yeah.
But because of that, I knew that he wasn't finished.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so many overlapping themes between patience and trust. There's so much absolutely. There.
Like, I think there is. It's like, you know, patience is not being, we've said it's not necessarily being okay, but it's trusting God's timing. It's trusting God's goodness. It's trusting God's sovereignty, and his will and his hand and all of that. So I think, when our timing doesn't line up with God's, again, that's painful. And we don't have to pretend like it's not. But I think the spirit enabled patience is that it's going to be okay. Cause Lord, this is, again, whether it's Lord, this is your child, or Lord, this is your timing, or Lord, my heart
is yours.
This
is my life, Lord. Yeah. This is my future. This is my plan. Yeah.
Sometimes it's not okay. You don't get the bow at the end
of
4 years. Or
that's almost nowhere in the Bible. Yeah. There's one big bow at the very end in Revelation 21. But
exactly. It's Job's, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. It's
blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yeah. You know, it's the Romans 8 thing. Like, he's going to work things out. It will be
all
okay.
Things.
You may not see it.
Yeah.
There is real loss, and you may never get that person back, or you may never, you know, whatever it is. And I think that's what loyal trust in God equips us for, is that kind of patience, knowing that though the story doesn't turn out the way I want it to in this life, he does make all things new.
Romans 2 reminds us to not presume on the riches of his kindness or his forbearance or his patience. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some hard words there in a sense, but also that reminder of God will do as God does.
Yeah. And sometimes it does work out in this life.
Sometimes it does.
A gift.
Yeah. Well, anything to add, anyone? Any final parting words, any final wisdom?
I think one of the things when I was in the hospital, when I went every day for a month for Faith and NICU, was just the reminders of God being with me. Mm. And for me, that was through music. And I started a playlist, and every time I'd hear a song, then I'm like, oh, this is totally a reminder that God isn't done, that he's still here. And over and over, I would go into the NICU and I would just play the playlist, and thinking, one day I hope that Faith will grow up and hear these songs and hear her story and my story with her and see God's fingers in her life, that she is a gift from him and she belongs to him, and hear these songs. I know, my oldest daughter, there was songs that I would play when she was a baby, and she still recognizes them. Mm. And my hope is that what I've established now, that Faith would see it and be like, oh, yeah, right. God isn't done. There's a couple lines from one of the songs. It's, I know that if I'm still breathing, you're still working. Mm. And I know if I'm still here, then you have a purpose. I cannot see your plan, but I know you're working. And I think that was a big thing. Over and over of, okay, for me, a baby in the NICU with underdeveloped lungs, okay, she's still breathing. Like, I know that God is still here. I know that he's still working because she's still breathing.
Mm.
Man.
And that's cool. Yeah.
What's the name of that song?
Even If by Mission City Worship.
Wow.
But yeah, it was, there were quite a few songs that was like, okay, God, like I remember that you have done this before. Like you, there's, you know, history in the Bible and heritage in the Bible of you doing this and you're still working. You're still doing it.
I love the real practical thought there of making yourself a playlist and pounding yourself
absolutely
through your AirPods, through your headphones, through your radio, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. The reminders of God's grace, reminder of God's work, and to help you learn patience or help you learn about the character of God.
Yeah,
and even, I think that's even, super, super cool.
Even you said looking to Scripture in the same way, reminding yourself, like whether it's through song or through Scripture, like, hey, the Lord has a track record of having a plan and it being good. So that's great to trust in. So.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this week, Carissa.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks for sharing your stories. Yeah. These were cool. Yeah. These are great.
Absolutely. Well, Imprint Church, we are praying for patience for you. Let us know how we can help. If you have any questions, any thoughts, anything that, that we failed to consider or you'd like us to consider, send us an email, podcast@imprintchurch.org, and we will see you next week.
You have to wait a whole week for our next podcast. I've been waiting all week to say that for the patient. That was horrible.
Yikes.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.